StorySite presents They Do Return, But Gently Lead Them Back. Narrated by me, Jennifer Lim. The Old Man in the Balcony. One of my earliest recollections is of an immense coffin. Perhaps the immensity was derived from the child's perception of the world, from her tiny 3-foot frame, for I could not have been more than 4 then, standing in a covered part of the stone courtyard of a very old house. The coffin had been bought by the mistress of the house for her father-in-law, who had reached that hopeless stage of senility of having to be fed and bathed like a child. I could still see him clearly. A very old man with long, white, wispy hair and beard, crouching in a corner of the balcony upstairs, wearing a kind of faded coat, but naked from the waist down. Occasionally, his daughter-in-law would squat down with scissors and patiently trim his hair, beard, and fingernails. We children used to stare wonderingly at him whenever we were brought on a visit to the house. After the coffin, the old man with no trousers was a natural attraction, and we stood in a cluster just beyond the doorway, staring at him, but at the same time, poised for flight should he spring up and attempt to catch us. Of course, he was incapable of doing anything apart from eating soft food and soiling himself. But still, we associated him with a large fund of supernatural strength that he could always draw upon to attack and kill people. The coffin had been in readiness for the last 20 years, but the old man lingered on, and his daughter-in-law, whom I remember we called Ahan De, had clearly quite forgotten about its existence or had chosen to ignore it as she went about her business of being the town's matchmaker and bridal helper. She was a jovial, friendly woman who laughed a great deal. And even at that age, I remember I was struck by the contrast between her effervescence, her merry laughter and her bright jangling jewels, and the desolate coffin now beginning to gather dust and cobwebs that had become a fixture in her house. That she had bought it for her father-in-law was a measure of her great affection for him. At some time in their old age, men and women fretted about the possibility of dying without a proper coffin to be buried in. To reassure her father-in-law that no such calamity would befall him, Ahan Ze had bought him the coffin, and from that moment he had ceased to fret and worry. My mother-in-law was a mean, cruel woman, but he has always been good to me, said Ahan Ze, explaining this filial gesture. The coffin had stood for so long in the house that soon it lost all its terror for the children in the household. They played around it, and when no one was looking, tried to lift its heavy lid and slip inside. On the night the coffin knockings began, Ahan Ze and Ah Gam So, a distant relative who was staying with her, sat up in their beds, listened intently, and nodded to each other. It will be soon, they said. The signs are here already. And they thought, without sadness, of the deliverance of the old man curled asleep on a mat in the room next to the balcony, a place grown musty and foul-smelling with urine and dropped food. They listened for a while and counted the knocks, all 17 of them. Perhaps it will be tomorrow, said Ah Gam So. When morning came, she padded softly to the old man's room, but he was clearly still alive, for he looked at her with his bleary eyes and signalled that he wanted to be carried to his warm, sunny spot in the corner of the balcony. In the afternoon, someone rushed to Ahan Ze and said, "He's dead!" But he was referring to Ah Gam So's husband, an idle, good-for-nothing wastrel who wandered through the town all day in singlet and pyjama trousers, picking his teeth.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?